Hi, and welcome to Behind the Mic Radio. I am your host, Dawn Mack, and so very glad to be here with you on this Monday. Typically, Mondays are usually dreaded by most people. It kind of kicks off the work week for a lot of people, and it's just kind of the dreaded feeling, you know, waking up. This morning, I can tell you I was very happy when I woke up because the sun was shining. I said, oh, it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great week. And I say that because we have had here in North Carolina for the last 3.5 weeks rain every day and clouds every day and very little sunshine, and it has just about been almost morbidly dismal. So it has been so great to see the sun shining today, and I think we're now out of the rain pocket that has hovered over our state for quite a while now. So I hope wherever you are, you had a great day today and your week is off to a rolling start. Tonight, we are so very excited to welcome our guest. She is a recording artist. She is a blues rocker. She has some phenomenal music. Some of the best blues music I've heard in a very long time. And she's not new to the music scene. Listening to her music is undoubtedly an experience. And it is, if you are a lover of blues and the genre, you are going to love our guest tonight. Her current album is called The Real Thing, and we would like to welcome in Peach. Hello, Peach.
Hi, I'm fine.
Hi, it's so nice to have you with us.
It's really nice to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Oh, it is such an honor and pleasure to have you here. I want to congratulate you right out of the gate on your album. Wow. I mean, as I was saying in the intro, you're not new to the music scene. So anytime you can release a new project, that's always an incredible, you know, an incredible feat that deserves some great praise and recognition.
Thanks so much. Yeah, when you record your songs, they're like little children. So each song's one of your children. So it's great to get them recorded, and now I'm starting to understand we need to always do little videos. So I'm starting to get into that now. That's my new thing now.
How has that been for you? I mean, have you actually released any videos to any of the music?
There's
that
just one video that I put up about 30 days ago that we made kind of, as you would say, on the fly. At a gig, and there was a guy doing a video for someone after I played, and so he had one camera, and he said, "Do you want me to do a video?" And I'm like, "Sure," you know. And so anyway, long story short, we got one song out of it, and we put it on YouTube, and I got 57,000 views so far. So I'm really excited about that, and that has kind of made me realize that, you know, I need to do more of that, do more, you know, just one-song videos, pop them up there, you know. I mean, I suppose this is not new to anyone else. Everyone else knows this, has been doing this for a while, but I don't know. It just never occurred to me until recently, so that's what, you know, what we're doing now. We're going to do probably one song like every 60 days, you know, for a while, and just get them up there. If you look for my video, I don't know the technical way to find it, but if you put in my name, Peach, and then put in, on your Google search, put Girls Rock, it'll pull up. And it's a song that I wrote with a bluesman named Keb Moe, who's Kevin Moore. One of the finest songwriters I've ever known. And he used to live here in L.A. where I live, but he moved to Nashville. And we wrote that song, I think, about 5 years ago. And then he moved, and I never have recorded this song or done anything with it. And then, you know, I popped up that little video of it, and so now, you know, I'd like to do some other songs. Anyway, Just rambling.
No, thank you for sharing that. As a matter of fact, I'm actually looking at the video right now, and what I'll do is I will post the link to that on our website when we are done here tonight, and I'll get that on there so folks can see it and know where to find it.
It's been a lot of fun for us, you know, as a band to see that many views go up in a few weeks. For me, that's been quite fun.
I imagine it's been quite the head rush. I mean, that is one thing about YouTube. Those little clicks, I mean, they add up so quickly, and it's really no wonder how some videos just go viral overnight, it seems like. And
right.
That really is a great avenue if you're a musician and you want to get your music out in a visual form.
Right.
Because so many artists have been able to do that and do it successfully. And I think that's great. But we're glad we'll also put it on our site, as I said, just so more people can be drawn to it and see what you're all about. I have to tell you, I really, it's only been in the last couple of years that I've really started getting into blues music and enjoying the genre more. I don't know if it's age, maturity, or what it is, but I'm enjoying it so much. And your music is by far, it's my favorite in the genre thus far.
Thank you. I've listened
to a lot of it. I don't know if it's because you're a female singing it or what, but it's great. I mean, you have a great voice, number one. And just, I like your music. You know, a lot of blues music is just so, it's kind of singing from the soul.
Right.
But your music, I like the fact that it's got some liveliness to it, even though it's blues. I mean, you can clearly tell it's blues, but it's got a nice, get up and move kind of groove. And I love that about it.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, I just do what I do. It, I evolved over time, and it just, and then my music sounds like it sounds, which I'm very happy about. I when I was younger, I went through all these phases, where I'd get enamored with a certain singer or an artist, and I would literally learn like every song that they ever did, You go through these phases, but I think that's how you cut your teeth on learning. If you're going to be a musician for life, I mean, some people do it the total opposite. I mean, right out of the box, they're 16 years old. Well, when I was even 16 years old, I wrote songs and stuff. But I guess for me, my journey, I seem to have to go through all these various singers and songwriters and guitar players and until I became myself, But that isn't how some people do it. I think some people just like kind of right out of the box, never do a cover, never do anyone's material. So I guess there's just different ways to, all kinds of different ways. It's a big world to be a musician, but that was how, my progression was, When I was younger, I would get obsessed with certain, musicians, singers, whatever it was at the time.
Well, but that's really helped to kind of mold and craft, your career in terms of what you wanted to do with your music. And there is nothing wrong with having great musical influences. I mean, my gosh, there have been so many down through the ages and the decades of time just great, phenomenal legends that will live on long after they're gone and have made incredible music. And I mean, if we didn't have that to draw from as an artist, yes, like you say, there are those that come right out, they cut their teeth out of their own original stuff, they never do covers, and they're on their way. But I think that it's great to have, to listen to various styles and to try to form your own style based on, what you've learned and heard and basically grew up on, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
So,
talk a little bit about how you got your start, because I know, you're not new at this. You've been at this a little while.
I'm proud of it, I might add.
Yeah, and you've won awards, and you've done some incredible things in the music industry. And what kind of drew you to music initially, and then even more so, what kind of drew you towards the blues genre?
Well, I think initially I just was drawn to singing, and I sang in the church, in Indiana, just a regular choir, you know, and I loved that. And my mother played honky-tonk piano at home. She never played professionally. Mm-hmm. She just played a certain piano style that's really called stride piano, which is really blues, okay. But none of this was known to any of us. And what my mom called it was cordon, as in playing chords. So they would chord in the left hand, which is, you know, the stride piano style. Anyway, long story short, my mom would play blues, basically, you know.
Uh-huh.
But we never knew it was blues. I mean, she knew some of the stuff was blues, like St. James Infirmary. But most of it, you know, she would just play, and here's the hilarious thing, this is kind of bad, that we had this old piano, and it was in the garage in Indiana. So this, we would go out there, we would bundle up. It was always a little cold out there, and so, of course, the piano was a little out of tune, you know, because it's out in the garage.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, we had a really nice house, but for some reason, the piano never got in. So my mom had this piano out there, and it was at one point, they painted it pink. This piano pink. It was like hideously ugly. I mean, just hideous, right? And we would go out there, and I'd sit on the end of the bench, and my mom would, you know, play her little repertoire, you know, that she always played, and you know, but we never knew it was blues. That's the funny thing. Then I started playing music as a teenager, and I started playing like protest music, protesting the wars and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I traveled around the Midwest as, doing like coffee shops. I was really pretty young. I was like 16. And, you know, I would just take the car for the weekend and friends from a local college, and we would go off and play. And I mean, it's really crazy now because, I mean, I can't even imagine. You know, I have a daughter now, and, you know, I'm always afraid when she's driving on the freeway, and she's, you know, 19 years old. But in any case, you know, we were like, you know, just off and about, you know, playing our music. And then I went to college, and I played there somewhat. And then I decided I wanted to play jazz. I got really enamored with jazz. And I think part of it of that was I wanted to be more sophisticated. And I had come from this small town called Anderson, Indiana, which now I'm very, very proud of and very fond of. But at the time, of course, you know, as a wounded teenager, you know, I wanted to, you know, distance myself from that, you know. And I thought, well, what I want to do is I ended up moving to San Francisco, and I thought, I'm going to sing jazz.
Yeah.
You know, and I indeed did do that. I did that for about 15 years. And during those years, you know, the jazz that I liked the best was kind of rocky and pretty straightforward. Well, I didn't know, but it was actually blues.
Uh-huh.
You know, I still didn't know. I still didn't have a clue, you know. I thought I was, you know, and I did play some jazz, of course, but in there was a lot of blues. So long story short, later, I had my daughter, and I started playing again, and I just realized that I was actually playing blues, and that's all I wanted to play, and I didn't want to play that other stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I might occasionally, because I'm a guitar player, you know, I've been a guitar player since I was 11 years old. I mean, I might occasionally get in a mood when I'm at home and want to play some Brazilian music, you know, kind of get into a Astro Gilberto frame of mind or something.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, I don't do that, you know, and I certainly don't do that as a performer because, you know, I don't want everybody, you know, you know, falling asleep. But
right.
Not that that music would put people to sleep, but in the context of the music I'd play, it might. Anyway, so when I had my daughter, I was going to be a stay-at-home mom, and I, you know, just started playing guitar again a lot. And then before you know it, you know, these friends of mine started coming over and playing, and then I was off again, you know, like starting to play again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my focus still was being a good mom, and, you know, I have been blessed with this daughter. But I started playing again kind of late, you know, and I mean just really going at it. And that's when I started winning all these awards and everything started sort of to happen. And even then people were thinking I was, you know, like, you know, the total late bloomer. And I kind of became the opening act go-to person. You know, so I would open for, like, Bobby Blue Bland or James Cotton or, oh, I don't know, you know. Oh, Little Milton. I opened for Milton a bit and had the pleasure to meet him and know his family and things. And so, you know, it just sort of, that was a really cool thing because it introduced me to a lot of people. And I just met a lot of people that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that helped me start playing with a lot of people that I'd always wanted to play with. So that was, you know, the thrill of a lifetime was, for example, to be doing a song and having Taj Mahal come play on it. Or, another thrill of my life was... to have Garth Hudson from the band, to have Garth play organ on a song that I had written, you know? And, I mean, I was just, so happy, you know? It was just like, it was just such a thrill of a lifetime because I'd always in my mind, I guess, I would hear various musicians and I could imagine how they would play on my songs.
Mm-hmm.
But then so late in life, I started gathering, you know, all these people and they were playing on my songs and that was just a thrill of a lifetime and a lot of these people are on this recording that I think you have there.
That is amazing. I mean, and I'm so glad that, you know, later on after you had your daughter, you just, you know, the music never let you go. You just, it kept, you know, kind of jabbing you and kind of tapping you on the shoulder going, you know, and you just kind of got back into it full force. And, I mean, look where you are today. And look at all the connections that you've had the privilege of making in this industry. Your record is just phenomenal. It's one of my favorite
thank you so blues much.
Albums I've heard in a very long time. I absolutely love it. And because I love that rockiness to it. I love that feel. Because, you know, it's got the blues, but it's kind of like, if for someone who didn't know it was blues, it would be highly enjoyable because they might think they're listening to a rock soul album or something. I mean, but it's really got a great flair and great appeal, I think, to non-blues music lovers because it has that rock element.
Yeah, well, Mardi Gras, a lot of this, if you're talking about the real thing, Marty Greb, who produced that record with me, Marty was in a band called the Buckinghams way back. And then from the Buckinghams, he moved into working with Bonnie Raitt. So I think he worked with Bonnie for many, many years. But Marty taught me a lot about, you know, crafting a song and, you know, kind of making it more than just a bar band song. In other words, you know, having specific parts and having various instruments playing various parts. And I mean, it was things that I knew, but it but it was always kind of random, you know, and some nights it would work and some nights it wouldn't in a club. And Marty kind of taught me how to make a real recording. And I'll be forever grateful for that. And we had a lot of collaboration about all the various friends that we mutually had and, you know, who we wanted to pull in on this song and who we wanted to pull in that song. We got kind of carried away with ourselves, but we had a really good time. And, you know, in the end, I was real happy with my project, you know. And Marty recently has now moved back to Baltimore. So he's on your side of the coast. And he's getting ready to go out on a tour with Garth Hudson. I think they're going to Japan. They're going to do a tour in Japan next week. So, little side
note. That'll be exciting. Well, yeah. And speaking of tours, are you going to be on tour in the near future, or what do you have brewing in that area?
My plan right now is to stay local and keep doing these videos over the winter, and then by spring, I would like to either, you know, play some East Coast festivals, or I would like to go to Europe and play the festivals. The festival season over there. And I do have, you know, a lot of inroads for the Europe thing. I don't have a lot of inroads to the East Coast. But I've gone over to Europe a couple times, and I met a lot of great, great players. So I'm basically organizing myself and preparing myself for going primarily to Denmark and Scandinavia. And I don't know why I just ended up meeting a lot of Scandinavians. And, you know, and in truth, I kind of look Danish, but I'm not Danish. but I have a real affinity for Denmark, and I've been there a couple of times in the last few years. And they love the music, you know. They're just crazy for the music. And I guess in a way what I like about Denmark, too, is it seems like it's reminiscent to me of back when all of our music was very organic, you know, when I was coming up through the ranks. And all of our music was, you know, pretty much in clubs. I mean, you can tell that that's not the way of the world in the United States right now because of the fact that there are very, very few clubs compared to how many clubs there used to be. When, you know, my San Francisco days, I would play in a club five or six nights a week. You know, I mean, you were out all the time. And now, I mean, there's just not that many places. You know, it's just changed. Which isn't necessarily bad, but Europe seems sort of a little bit of a kickback. And then the people that are in the clubs are just crazy about the music, crazy about the music. So, you know, that's sort of what I'd like to see happen. And I have some contacts there, you know, like booking agents and things, but... you know, we'll just have to wait and see. It's too early to call right now. It's like betting on a horse race. It's a little too early to call because the booking takes place, you know, you ramp into it around November, December. January, February, pretty much the booking gets booked for those festivals and it's done. And that's, you know, that festival season. So I'm a little early.
I'm excited for you, and I really hope that you get to take that tour, but I equally hope that you are able to get to the East Coast one of these days because I would love to get out and see you if you're in North Carolina play live because, as I watched your video, I was just like, wow, that would be so cool to see you live because your music is good, and it's the kind of music that it sounds 10 times better when you can see it live and you can see, you just get the whole feel of the moment, you know?
Yeah.
blues music does, you know, has that effect on people more than I think any other genre of music, because of the fact of, you know, it comes from the soul and from the deepest core of your inner being, and you really do, you know, I think identify with it a lot more than, and maybe that's why I've kind of gotten so akin to it the last couple of years, because it really does, it has an appeal to me now. Like I said, I don't know if it's age or maturity, but it has an appeal to me now that it didn't have when I was much younger, that I'm really starting to appreciate a lot more. And it is interesting how that changes as we change. One of the things I wanted to talk with you about is this great Rock and Cure event that you do annually that you're co-founder of. Tell the listeners what that entails and what that's about.
Well, Rock and Cure is an organization that was founded by myself and a friend of mine named Marian Isaac. And we did concerts to raise money for stem cell research. And right now we're on a sabbatical. I hate to report, but I must in honesty report that Marian, my girlfriend, who was married to a dear friend of mine as well, but Marian passed away, bottom line. And so we did the concerts for another year, and so right now we're sort of on a break from it, I suppose you would call it. And we were raising money for stem cell research and stem cell awareness. Now, the funny thing that's happened with stem cell research, and at that time, we were doing it for stem cell research as it applies to breast cancer. Since that time when we started, and a lot of people were very against stem cell research, a lot has changed. You know, the tide has changed quite a lot. We were never interested in embryonic stem cell research. We were always working with adult stem cell research, which is these little cells that are in everyone's body. So there's stem cells inside you running around right now. And when those cells are taken out and harvested and used in special ways, they can be very much miracles. And currently, to sum up, most of the stem cell research that I know of that's going on is making great progress with juvenile diabetes. So I've sort of passed the torch to those people and may, you know, rejoin the forces next year if the juvenile diabetes people want to, you know, do that again. So that's a little bit about stem cell research. I got really into it when my friend Marian had a stem cell transplant, and and then we took that and did everything we could with it, you know, to promote it and raise money and everything. And she lasted about 8 years, and then she did pass away. So that's my story.
I'm so sorry, but. But, gosh, what a mark you made in that area, you know, of research and also the monies that have been raised. And kudos to you for, you know, for being involved with this because, you know, it did not, you know, go in vain. I mean, it was definitely well worth the effort. And now moving forward, if you become re-involved, it will be a great way to honor your friend.
Right.
You know, in that way, because this was the work she was so passionate about, obviously.
Absolutely.
And well, if you do resume that in the future, please let us know. We would love to help promote that for you as well.
Absolutely, I definitely will.
And get the word out. I really do, as I can't say it enough, I love your music, and you are an immense talent, and it is no surprise that you've worked with some of the best in the business, and your album is just doing so phenomenally well and getting the acclaim
so
that it
much.
Is. So I'm very, very excited and would love to have you back anytime, you know, that you have something new you want to share or new music, please get it to us. We'd
great,
love to promote it.
Great, great. As we get our videos done, I will I will send them to you.
Perfect. We'd love to get that on our site and get them out.
We will give him, we will send him your way, top of the list. So
okay,
it'll be really
great.
Fun. I want the videos to be very real, but good.
Yeah.
You know, I want them to be professionally done, but not overdone. I just want them to be. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna work on now.
We look forward to seeing the visuals of the great music that you've made. It's going to be great and gives us all something to look forward to. And you think if they're sitting at 57,000 views now, just wait.
That was just like practically an afterthought. Of course, that's how sometimes those things go.
That's
you know, like
right.
I said,
I
this,
mean,
this other woman that was performing that night said, I'm doing this video. Do you want him to do one for you? And I go, well, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? But now I'm looking at the video, of course, I'm going, oh, why didn't I have on a little bit more makeup, you know? Because,
yeah,
you know, under the lights washed out. And I'm like, well, I could do that better. So that's what I mean, you know. We need to actually think a little bit about it. But primarily I want the videos to just be little – you know, little fun things that are the real deal that, you know, as we go out and hit this. And also I want to have my band in there because I love my band so much. And it's just fun for me to, you know, to see that too. You know, to see the video of the band members, you know. I have some really fun band members to get to watch, you know.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
Well, we definitely look forward to more of those forthcoming, and we'll, like I said, do everything we can to help promote you and your music. You are phenomenal, and so we just wish you continued success in everything that you do, and hopefully we will be able to see you on tour sometime in the near future.
Thank you so much. And if anybody's coming out to Disneyland in September, I will be at the House of Blues at Anaheim, which is Disneyland, Anaheim, California, on September the 8th. There's the Real Blues Festival of Orange County, September the 8th, in the main room at the House of Blues there. And I'll be there. There'll be some other acts there as well that day and evening. So it's a big, it's going to be a big event. September the 8th for anybody that's traveling or local.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much.
Thanks so
much, Dawn. For being our special guest this evening. It's been a pleasure, and we definitely look forward to more of Peach as time goes on.
Thank you. Love your accent.
All right, take
care. Please come to the West Coast. Okay.
Okay, will do.
Thank
you so much.
All right.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, we've been speaking with Peach. And what a delight she is, and just a phenomenal person, great artist. If you'd like to catch up with Peach, you can go to her website, check out her music. It's peachmusic.com, and you can also follow her on Twitter, and she can be found at Peach, in all caps, Blues Band. And on Twitter, she also has a Facebook page of the same name. So check her out. Now, before we wrap tonight, I'm going to play a couple of songs that are off her latest release. And the latest release, again, is called The Real Thing. And you can pick that up pretty much anywhere, Amazon and iTunes and CD Baby and you name it. You can find it. And I'm telling you, you're going to love it. I'm going to play the first of two songs. And this is Come Up and See Me Sometime.
See me sometime.
Come up and see me sometime.
up and see me sometime.
Love the bluesiness. Great, great sound. You know, there's a little bit of her sound reminds me of Bonnie Raitt. I love Bonnie Raitt and her music. She has a similar style, yet it's her own style. But I meant to ask her who her influences were. And I tell you, I've always loved Bonnie Raitt and the way she takes blues music and gives it that rock appeal because it appeals to two different genres that way, which I think is pretty brilliant as an artist. This next song is off of the same album, and I love this. This is really bluesy, but it's but I do love it, and I love her voice. She has a great voice for this genre, and but this one is called Someone Else is Stepping In.
What a shock when he found out his key no longer fit my lock. Oh, baby, you can go back where you've been. You've been stepping out. I was a fool you could count on, one that you could call when no one else was at home. Oh, baby, remember how you treated me. Step
someone else is stepping in. Ooh, I love it. I mean, the first song was rocky, bluesy. This one was true blues, and love her style, and love her music. And so if you like that, please support her. These indie artists worked very hard to put out this music, and so they appreciate all the support that they can get. They're not on major record labels, so anytime someone can buy their music, that helps them to make more great music, and she is definitely a talent that needs to be heard. So again, we want to thank our special guest this evening, Peach, for being with us, and it was just such a pleasure speaking with her and playing her music for you. Hope you enjoyed that. Got a couple things I want to share. Coming up tomorrow night, we will have, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, we have from The Young and the Restless, Ignacio Cerricchio. And so if you follow him, he plays detective. Bear with me one moment. He plays detective Alex. He's Alex. Oh, gosh, it's slipping my mind. I can't believe it. I say his name all the time, and I forgot it. My brain is fried. It's been a long day, folks. I mean, really, it is just crazy. But he is going to be with us tomorrow night, and we are very, very excited to have him with us because he is just Alex Chavez. I knew. I wasn't going to stop until I remember. And Detective Alex Chavez, and I think you're going to enjoy hearing from him. He's done a lot of things. He's been in a lot of primetime, especially of late. He had a role on CSI. He's also starred in, The Ghost Whisperer and, gosh, many other shows. But we are loving him on Y&R. So hope that you will join us for that. That starts at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then, let's see, we have another special guest coming up later in the week, but I will announce that tomorrow night after our interview. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised. We are very excited to have her with us coming up on Thursday at 7 p.m. So just mark your calendars and be ready for the big announcement after our show tomorrow night. All right, that is going to do it for now, folks. Again, a special thank you to Peach for being our special guest, and thank you to all of you who joined us. If you're brand new to our program, welcome aboard. We're always glad to have new listeners in our ranks, and we certainly hope that you will be back again real soon. And with that, I'm going to say that is going to do it for tonight. So take care all. Have a great night, and we'll see you back here again real soon. Good night.
Thanks for listening to tonight's show. You can connect to Behind the Mic Radio on Twitter at BT Mic Radio and on Facebook at Behind the Mic Radio. Check out our website at BehindTheMicRadio.com. Also, follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio, where you can stay up to date on all upcoming shows. Every episode is available for immediate download upon the conclusion of each broadcast, and as always, on iTunes. Thank you for joining us.